Hey guys, this is Rivian Rundown. My name is Isaiah.
I'm Zach.
And we have...
I thought that was good!
And we have
Oz,
our
they sound third stupid. Guest. Like, it just...
We have our third guest, Michael Cusick, who is a R1T owner. And you actually might have seen him before. His R1T was involved in... I'm going to let Michael explain it because I feel like you would have you would give us, like, let's just dive right into it. Give us, like, the most accurate summary of what happened.
Absolutely. Well, Isaiah, Zach, thank you for having me on the Rivian Rundown. This is an absolute honor. My name is Michael Cusick. I am famous for my terrible parking locations. if you guys want, I could just run down the whole summary for you real quick here. I'm living here in Asheville, North Carolina, and on September 28th, we got hit by Hurricane Helene. 2 days prior to Hurricane Helene, I parked my car across from the U-Haul in downtown Asheville. This was adjacent to the Swannanoa River. We were downtown drinking, and I wasn't a designated driver, and I didn't want to drink and drive. And I didn't really think too much about where I parked my car at the time. In retrospect, it was a major mistake, but we learn from our mistakes, and that's what makes us human. That was Wednesday, and the following day was Thursday, and it rained significantly. The flooding had already started. We had to stay at my friend's house because of that. And then the following day was Friday, and that's when the hurricane actually hit. And so we already had flood conditions before we got the hurricane. And then the hurricane hit on Friday. We got an additional, from what I understand, we got an additional 13 to 15 inches of rain on top of the 9 inches we got the day prior. And the French Broad River, which is a river that you can walk across, it's so shallow. It's about 3 feet deep usually. This river rose all the way to 25 feet in depth. And anything that was within this height didn't just flood. It literally became part of the river. And this is why buildings got swept away, cars, houses. And my vehicle was one of those things that got swept away. The storm itself actually created mini tornadoes as well. We didn't know it at the time, but we do now that there were so many trees that were downed and power lines that were downed. We lost cell phone service on Friday around, I would say around like 11 a.m., maybe noon. And the storm ended maybe 3 or 4 p.m. that Friday. There was no way to get information. I was at my friend's house, and there's like 4 ways out of my friend's house, and 2 of the ways were blocked by hundreds of downed trees and power lines, and the other 2 routes were blocked by literal floodwaters so deep that even a Rivian couldn't get through. And so we weren't even able to get out to figure out what the heck was going on until Saturday afternoon. It was a crazy situation. We rely these days so much on our cell phones and the internet and information that when we lose that, everybody is just in this what's going on kind of mindset. And then Sunday morning, finally make it down to Tunnel Road where I parked my vehicle. And we ran into a police officer who was guarding the road because the road was closed because of all the destruction. The water had finally receded enough so that the road was no longer underwater. And I told him, because my friend, we still didn't have cell phone service at this point. My friend had Starlink, and he had an F-150, just like a ICE vehicle. He had Starlink in his F-150. And so I had internet, and I was able to see the location of the Rivian on my phone. But I'm sure you guys know is that the location's sort of like, it like takes you to Google Maps and just puts like a dot. It's not like super accurate. And so I was telling him, I was like, hey, my car's down there. He's like, buddy, you're not coming past here. If your car's here, it's gone. It's either miles down river or it's at the bottom of it. And I remember showing him my phone. I was like, no, look, it's like right where I parked it. Look, it's coming up on the map. I got the location. It says it's good. I just turned on the AC. Look, it's working. And he was like, okay. And then he escorted us down to the U-Haul site, which was in bad shape. I mean, there were U-Haul vehicles that were upside down. There were U-Haul vehicles with like trees through the windshield. There were U-Haul vehicles that were crushed, completely crushed. And so I'll just try to give you a general description, and you could probably see this on Google Maps better, but you have the Swannanoa River here, and then you have the road that goes here, and then you have the U-Haul on this side. And I had parked here, and my vehicle was on the back side of the bridge that was about 100 feet adjacent to the U-Haul. So it had moved. It had moved northeast approximately 100 feet from where I parked it. And I remember when we pulled up, I was like, I kept hitting the location button to see if it was like changing. Because it's not always super accurate. And it kept saying it was right there at the bridge. And I was like, I don't see it. And I started to panic with my friend. I don't see it. I don't see it. It's got to be at the bottom of the river. And he's like, wait a minute. Is that it over there? And I just see this like hulk of mud. Just like covered in this so much mud, I couldn't even imagine it. I haven't done any serious off roading in my Rivian, but it was so well camouflaged. I mean, it blended in to a degree that I'd never seen before. And we drove over there, and I just remember like trudging through this, like it must have been a foot of mud. I mean, the silt and everything from the river had been dug up by all the force of the water and had been swept 100 feet to the side. And my vehicle was probably up to maybe like three quarters of the way up the rims. If you guys are familiar with the location of the rims on the all terrains for the R1T.
Yep.
And I approached the vehicle and the door handles popped open and I pulled it open and all this mud came falling down and it was getting on the seat. And I was like, oh no. But the lights came on the inside. The screen came on and I shut the door. I hopped in and I couldn't see anything. Every single window was covered in mud. And so I remember I put on the, windshield wipers and it was just, and they were struggling so badly to try to get all this mud out of the way. Oh my gosh. And I very quickly ran out of windshield wiper fluid very, very quickly. But I remember spending a little bit of time, like my friend had a towel and we were trying to wipe it off because a lot of this mud was still super wet. And put the car in reverse and nothing really happened. And I put it in drive and nothing really happened. And so I went in and I turned off the traction control and put it back in drive and I started to spin. And then I put in reverse and drive and reverse and drive. And then I got it out and I turned and I got it back on the road. And we drove that sucker right out of there. It was crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. And and then I drove it up. I drove it back to his house. Like we cleaned off the back window and the front window pretty good. So I could actually start driving it around. Later that day, it like had rained a little bit, which helped clean off some of the vehicle a little bit more as well. And then I drove up on top of the bridge that was maybe like 2 or 3 miles down from where the U-Haul was. And that's where the man who took the video of me that probably you guys have seen that went viral was taken. So
that's insane. That is, I can't even imagine, like, A, finding my truck looking like a pile of mud. B, it still works, and right. Like the inside of it was like immaculate, and like that, like just driving it off after finding it after it sitting there for 5 days and being under, you know, what is that, 7 feet of water and mud? Like that's so crazy.
I sometimes I still like the one of the wildest things is that everybody asks me like, what happened? What happened? And because there's no gear guard footage, thanks Gary. I think I dropped that in there. Because there's no gear guard footage, I can only guess what happened. All I know is where I parked it and where I found it and what condition it was in. I can't like, I could guess, well, okay, it floated all the way to the bridge and then sat on a high point and never spent any time underwater. But how the heck was it completely encased in mud? How did that happen? Did it just splash up on there? Like, did it get it's completely submerged? Does it float? Is it a submarine?
Now, was the mud like on the top also? Like,
yeah, so,
like,
it was on the
like, it was like encapsulated in mud. Like, it was just basically just like
you somebody dumped seen the, mud right on top of it. Yeah, you should have seen the bed. It was like a foot and a half thick of mud.
Wow.
I think it really speaks
That's insane.
I think it really speaks to how well they have waterproofed the R1. And even if it wasn't, you know, even if the car wasn't like fully submerged, you know, up to the roof line, I think most cars, if it were to even get past, you know, 3/4 of the tire, you know, you are already, you're submerging the entire battery. You have the entire engine bay submerged. And to survive something like that, I think is like absolutely insane. And how many feet, again, or how many meters did it travel from where you parked it to where you found it? Do you know?
So because I continue to like give people rough estimates, I used like a distance calculator on Google Maps to figure out like the exact distance, and it came up to 89 feet. So that's probably plus or minus 10 feet there.
Yeah. I mean, that's still insane. Like,
and the process after that, now that you have your R1T, right? Everyone's taking pictures, videos, you know, you're reporting how your R1T survived, you know, in a hurricane, right? And, you know, we've seen a lot of the devastating images and videos that have come out of North Carolina, specifically from Helene. And, I mean, what was the aftermath of that, you know, finding your truck?
Well, I did tell you guys that I went up on that bridge and, actually the first people who interviewed me was WRAL and they're out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And they interviewed me. And then this other man, from, I guess he's got a TikTok and I think that's how this video went viral, interviewed me. And after I did that interview, I got in my car and I drove through downtown Asheville. And I think sometimes when natural disasters happen, initially your instinct is to kind of conserve and isolate, to say, okay, well, I've got the Rivian and I've got outlets and power and, you know, I have some stored goods and stuff. And you know, I got to make sure I don't show anybody anything and I keep everything to myself. And, you know, people could want to steal it from me and all this other stuff. But when I drove through downtown Asheville, I saw a level of destruction that I had never seen before. And I lived in Florida for 10 years. I went through Hurricane Matthews and a few other hurricanes that hit really badly. And I had never seen this kind of destruction that I've seen here in Asheville. And that I remember that afternoon, you know, none of the supermarkets were open. There was no access to water, and there was this team at the Rockies Hot Chicken Shack, which is just this like local restaurant in the parking lot. This Crisis Response International is what they're called. And I didn't know it at the time, but I just saw the shack that said free food and water. And I remember pulling in and, these guys, I got in line and, they gave me a hamburger and some green beans and a bottle of water. And I remember them asking me if I needed anything else. And I remember just thinking like, how much do I owe you? And they're like, you don't owe us a dime. And while I was eating that meal, I kind of had like a conversion, would you say, where I went from, okay, I've got to isolate, I've got to make sure nobody sees I've got power, I've got to make sure I can keep these supplies to myself, to I've got to do everything I can to help my community. There are people out here from Alaska. The woman that was serving us in this shack was from Alaska. I mean, people from all over the country had come to Asheville to help us. And from then on, I was determined to do anything I could to help my community. And I remember asking them, hey, what can I do? And initially, they were like, okay, well, we're getting supplies in. Maybe you could just funnel people and watch the gate. And then it was, oh, your car has an outlet. You know, can we run the food truck off of it? And then it was like, oh, your car's off-road capable. We've got some people on this road who have medical issues and they can't get supplies. Could you deliver water to them? And so I used my vehicle that survived going through literal hell to help other people. And I could not have done that if Rivian didn't design such a gosh darn durable vehicle. So what can I say, really? What can I say? And ever since then, I've been doing everything I can to try to volunteer and look out for my community where I can.
That's amazing. That's so inspiring to hear that. And I mean, I'm speechless. Like, that's incredible.
Well, yeah, thank you, Zach.
I lived in Nashville for 10 years. We were talking about that before we started recording, and I was there in 2020, and like the week before everything shut down for COVID, a huge tornado went through basically downtown Nashville, and seeing the destruction from that pales in comparison to like the images and everything that I saw coming out of Asheville after this hurricane. So like I saw how like my community there came together, and then, you know, hearing your story and, you know, imagining like I would probably like want to do the same thing if I was in that situation and I had my Rivian in 2020, if they were existed and things like that. Like, I'm just like that. It's so crazy. And it's so awesome. And the fact that days prior your truck was covered in mud and underwater and all that stuff, and it was still able to do all of that and still able to help, like you're still able to like use it to like go out and help everybody and do all of that. Like, it's amazing. Not just, you know, not just you and, well, let me flip that. Not just the truck being able to do it, the fact that like you were doing it also. And, you know, like it's awe-inspiring. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. No, you said it all, Zach. I think even for most people that would be in that situation, even after, you know, seeing a community come together, they would still want to be, I want to say selfish in a sense, but almost it's almost a defensive mechanism, right? You want to make sure that you are okay first. And, you know, I think it's not only like a time and an energy resource that you've given to your community. It's a safety resource that you've given to your community, your own safety. And, you know, I can't, I know we talk about how great Rivians are, but I think regardless of what the vehicle had been, the spirit of you and what you had in you to be able to, right, we're going to do this. I think that really speaks a lot to you. And I guess thank you, right? I think from someone who, you know, I mean, Helene came straight through Tallahassee, actually kind of went more to the sides. And so we narrowly missed it. But still, I see a lot of the damage that it has caused. And I know that just as an American, I can be like that. Thank you. Like that was, it's amazing, man.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying too, just to kind of piggyback off of Isaiah and like what he was saying too, like we live, like all three of us live in areas where natural disasters can happen. Like y'all with the hurricanes and all that, and me living in California with earthquakes and everything. And you know, hearing your story and seeing it and talking to you and hearing about it and all that, like, if God forbid something like that ever happened here, I know I would probably be the first person to run out and do exactly what you're doing now. And, you know, just because I'm just like, you know, hey, he did this in his Rivian. I got this. I'm able to do this. I got the knowledge, you know, like all of that. Like, let's go. Like, what can I do? Like, load up my truck. Let's use it for power. Let's do all of that. Let's go. You know, so, you know, I hope that everybody listening and watching, like, you know, if it inspires you as well, like, let us know in the comments. I hate to be cheesy, but like, for real, like, let us know, like, you know, what you think and what you would think you would do in that situation. Because I know that countless number of people in our community, not just Rivian community, but like the EV community as well, that have vehicles that are capable, would, you know, probably do the same thing in that situation. And, you know, you were the first one to do it. And it's just awesome.
Well, thank you guys. You guys are going to have me crying over here. Gosh, it's been, 47, almost 48 days now since the hurricane, and we have such a long way to go, on the recovery process. I think it hit me so hard when no one was prepared for this. No one, I mean, even I wasn't prepared. I was like, oh, I'll park my car by the river. We're going drinking. What's the deal? It's not like it's going to be the flood of the millennium or something.
And, lo and behold.
I just feel, I mean, I couldn't have done any of this if my vehicle hadn't survived. Literally, I couldn't have done any of this. And, you know, my friends, I might have been able to help them, and then they would have been able to help, and people could have dropped me off places. But I would not have been able to make the same kind of positive impact that I had and have been able to have in my community without the Rivian. And I don't know if you guys want to dive into the Rivian response.
I was gonna say, like, yeah. let's talk about the aftermath, if you will, and kind of go from there. So, how long was it before? I don't remember exactly because my brain is not functioning at the moment. Had you contact Rivian, or did Rivian reach out to you? Because I remember there was like a whole big community push saying that, like, at least Wasim needed to like reach out to you and, like, you know, get something going with Rivian and all that. So, like, how did that work?
Well, I remember. So you got to remember, for at least 3 days afterwards, maybe it was more like four, there was no service at all. No cell phone service, no internet unless you had Starlink. And I didn't spend that much time with my friend who had Starlink after I recovered my vehicle. And I was able to, there was a hotel that had Starlink that I was able to go to like once a day and for like a lunch time period. And I was able to post some pictures. I posted some pictures on Reddit, if I remember correctly. And then some people on X, I was telling them what was going on in the Rivian community. I forget his name. Chris.
Yeah.
Hilbert.
Yes. Yes. And that man helped me out so much because I didn't even have a Twitter account or an X account. And I made one. And I posted a picture and like with my name and everything and just like talked about what I was doing and how great Rivian is. And I think he reposted that and a bunch of other people did, and they got the ball rolling because we were in this weird gray zone where I was already getting millions of views, but I had no clue. I had no idea for at least a good 48, 72 hours there that anybody had even seen my story. I wasn't even sure if the Raleigh news people who had interviewed me even aired that piece. Eventually I got a call because Chris asked me if he could share my personal phone number with the contacts at Rivian. And I said, yeah, but you guys can only call me during these times because I won't have cell phone service either. Because eventually, later in that week, there were certain sections of Asheville that did get cell phone service back first. Like maybe like one cell tower, I think, initially got service back that week. And I got in contact with Rivian and the regional service manager for the Southeast. His name's Rashid. Great guy. He asked me, he said, what can we do for you? And I was telling him, I was like, hey, listen, my vehicle either was completely submerged or floated downriver. And I remember what had happened the previous day before, and I think this was Tuesday after the storm. I was at the food truck at the CRI, and people knew about my story and were recognizing me and were recognizing the vehicle. And we were under a water conservation thing. So if you did have water, you sure as heck weren't using it to wash a car. And this woman came up to me and said, is that the truck from the thing? She's like, it's going to explode any moment.
Oh my god!
Here. And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "It was underwater. It's gonna explode." And she like ran to her car.
Welcome to North Carolina.
So, I do remember the lead at CRI was like, "Hey, do you mind if maybe you park your car like around the corner so people can't see it?" But it was like, it is a concern, you know, if your electric vehicle was underwater, you do want to get it checked out. And so the following day I spoke with Rashid, great guy, regional service manager. And he was like, yeah, so when can you bring your car to Atlanta? Because Atlanta is the closest service center to here, but it's about 4 hours. And the roads, Interstate 40 is completely gone going west. And 26 still had a bunch of problems at the time. And I think they had just cleared it up. And I remember telling him, I said, Rashid, listen, I need to get my vehicle serviced because it's been underwater, but it works right now. And I am helping people out. And I'll tell you guys a quick story. I went up this road called Elk Mountain Scenic Highway, and I had an electric chainsaw, and someone had given me an address to go to do a welfare check. And whenever I do the welfare checks, I always bring a case of water with me because we don't know what condition these people we find are in. And the road was still blocked with trees. This address was past these trees. And I cut through maybe 4 or 5 trees to get to this woman's house. And I showed up to this family's house. And I like to be well-dressed, and I like to carry the water on my shoulder so that, you know, this is rural Appalachia. People defend their property. I want to be clear about my intentions.
Yeah.
And I remember showing up and knocking on the door, and this woman who answers the door just bursts into tears and just starts going at length about how they ran out of water like 2 days ago, and they were dying of dehydration. And they were talking about it, and you know, to talk about it is one thing, but I remember being like, well, here's all this water, and there are people who are worried about you, and I think your daughter was the one who ordered this welfare check, and you know, we'll bring supplies to you every day, and I just cleared the road so you can get out now. And and her kids took one of the water bottles and chugged the whole thing and then threw it up right in front of my face.
Oh, man.
And it's, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we're dehydrated, but it's another thing to see it firsthand. And that hit hard. That made me realize that what I was doing was more important than making sure that my vehicle battery was in the best of condition. And so when I spoke to Rashid, I remember saying, hey, listen, I need to get the car checked out, but I'm not driving to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm needed here. I'm literally needed here. People's lives are depending on it. And Rashid said, no problem. We are here to help. And I think it was a Friday, and the following Monday, he sent the loaner that I'm in right now, a quad motor with the all terrain package. Thank the Lord for that. All the way up to Asheville. And then picked mine up, and they trailered it all the way back to Atlanta. And so they're working on it, and they literally gave me a more capable vehicle, because there were some times where with the dual motor, which is the one I had a dual motor max pack, it did great. But there were some times where the road was gone, literally gone, and I had to get like a head start and like to get up like a foot section of where the road was missing to get up and over to get to someone and do a welfare check or to clear a road. And this quad motor that they gave me is actually more capable than my dual motor. So yeah,
it's amazing. God, I just so unbelievable. Like, I'm sitting here like trying to imagine all of this, and I'm just like, oh my god. But then like the nerd in me is like, he's doing all this in a Rivian. Like, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm curious. So, how did you charge? Like, what was the daily, you know, having to get your vehicle back to a percentage that it can do, you know, your daily runarounds?
Well, Isaiah, that's a great question, because we lost power like everywhere for the first couple of days. I mean, there was nothing. And so I remember initially, I'm part of this Blue Ridge EV club, and a portion of the club has like this trailer that's got a Tesla Powerwall and solar panels. And at one point I was able to charge there initially. And then maybe like 3 or 4 days after the storm hit, the Biltmore Park Tesla supercharger opened, and I had an adapter, and I was able to charge at the supercharger. Nice. And I remember too, because to get into the Biltmore Park supercharger, you got to drive around a gas station. And the lines for the gas station here in Asheville for the first week afterwards were so bad that people were running out of gas in line to the gas station. And I do remember running into somebody, and they were asking me like, gosh, I wouldn't want to have an electric vehicle in this event. And I was like, I wouldn't want to have a gas vehicle. What are you talking about?
Like, buddy, I'm going to charge my car. I don't know what you're doing.
Oh.
Like, I was charging my truck off a trailer with solar panels, and you're waiting in line for gas. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, so, and there were some level two chargers as well I relied on. And then I think by, like, day seven, most of the metropolitan sections that weren't literally gone had power back. Nice. And so there were level two chargers, and the one supercharger in the Biltmore Park area was open. The Sam's Club is the only CCS charger, and I think that wasn't open until week two. But the you know how Electrify America is. It's
yeah.
I'm surprised they even came. Tell us. Now, let me ask you this, because we were talking about the lines at the gas station. Did you encounter any like long lines, or were like the supercharger and or the Electrify America charger were they super busy, or like were you the only car there charging?
You know, the supercharger, I didn't encounter any lines at all. In fact, I ran into quite a few other Rivian owners and a couple Lightning owners, and I remember because they enacted a curfew. I guess they were trying to prevent looting because of the level of the disaster that was going on. And there was still no cell phone service. So it's like there was a curfew, but how were you supposed to know? And the curfew started at 7:30, and I had like finished charging at 7, but these guys in an R1S pulled up, a quad motor, and they weren't familiar enough with the charging infrastructure to know that they wouldn't be able to charge without an adapter. And I remember like seeing their face, like, and how like they were, you know, they had kids in the car, and they were like, the wife was starting to panic, and I was like, hey guys, listen, use my adapter. I'll hang out here for a while. And so I hung out for like a good 30, 45 minutes for those guys. And it was like 7:45, 8 o'clock. And then another R1T rolled up, and I did the same thing for him and his family. Awesome. And it was like 8:30. And then a police F-150 rolled in the parking lot and said, hey, what are you guys doing? You better get out of here. You know, the curfew's in effect. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, dude. Like,
yeah.
How would we even know? There's no cell phone service. We can't communicate. There's no internet. And that's the first time I realized just like the scale to how everything was being handled. And it's so weird when civilization starts to break down. It seems like people either they're either pushed towards this like lawless, like anarchy, or they're pushed to this like everybody's part of this one giant team. And I'm just so impressed that Asheville and Western North Carolina as a whole has like 95% of us have gone towards this one big team. And I'm just so proud of us and this whole community. I can't say enough good things.
That's fantastic. I love it.
Down to the adapters.
So, yeah. So has Rivian given you any update on like if they found anything with your R1T or anything? Like if they given you like a status check on it or anything?
So Rashid has kept me updated. With that being said, I do have some information and more questions than answers. But I can let you guys in on everything I know. Initially, I think like maybe 3 days after they got it, I was using Starlink, and on TikTok, someone on X, I think her name was like Karen Whitworth. I don't know if that means a bell. She had forwarded a video or reposted a video of some guy who was working on my truck, and they had taken out the frunk, and he was like showing inside, and you could see like the mud line from, I guess, where the water got up to. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw it. Yep.
Which raised even more questions in my head than answers about how the car was covered entirely in mud, but the frunk line was up like halfway to the radiator, and the fan had some mud on it, but it looked like it had been like it had hit it instead of it coming in. I don't know. what I do know though is that they said that the battery is fine, that the motors are fine, and that they're getting some harnesses and some trim pieces replaced. That's the official response, but I was sent a picture where the electric motor is missing, and so I'm guessing they removed it to do diagnosis. I don't know all the I don't know all like the ins and outs about that, and I'm still kind of concerned about the you know, the paint job was like French Broad River brown. So I don't know if there's a bunch of scratches or dents underneath all that, or how it looks. I have been sent some exterior pictures, but they've come through in like 240p. So no real confirmation. I was told I'm going to get an update here before Thanksgiving. So, Isaiah, there's a chance that I may get my car before you get yours.
Oh, let's see. Let's see. I guess
they're trying to force. Oh, man. That's a good competition. We should see who gets their truck back first.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned, like, the body, how much dirt was over it and not being able to see, right, how what was affected to the body. Do you have... I mean, what was the, did you clean it at all? Is my question. So after, right, getting the windshield, right, clear so you can see, were you ever able to get, like, most of the dirt off where the truck is, like, almost somewhat looking normal? If that makes sense.
Recognizable as a truck.
Yeah. Well, you can see the color. You can see the color again.
It's a great question, Isaiah. Of course, we had the water conservation thing going on where we had to be, you know, no water in the grass, car washes weren't open, and you're not supposed to be washing your car either. There's also like a secondary factor that is that the silt and all of the mud from the bottom of the river is like part clay. And so when I got my car back, it was still super wet. And maybe if I had cleaned it then, it would have came off not too bad, but over the next couple days sitting in the sun, I mean, it baked on, like baked on, to the point where I never opened the rear doors until like later that week. And I remember having to like chisel the line just to get the rear doors open because they had like sealed shut. And then I had to climb in the back seat and like push it.
I was going to say, just climb in the back and like kick it open.
Yeah, basically. basically. And the truck bed would never open either. That was like sealed shut as well. The outlets were, by the way, the seal on the outlets is really good. No mud at all on that. But I remember having to rip that bad boy open. I can't imagine, because I know it's supposed to be like clean now. I can't imagine. It must have taken a long time at the service center of spraying that thing down.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if there is any like paint damage or anything.
Myself as well.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Got some mud body work. New body kit.
Otherwise, you have a good story to tell if people ask, like, where are all these scratches from?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story about Hurricane Helene.
About how terrible of a parking job I'm capable of.
Yeah. Let me tell you why it's not a good idea to drink the night before a hurricane. I swear I parked here 100 feet down the street. were you floated talking? Away. Sure it did, Michael. Sure it floated away. Oh, man. All right, so let me ask you this, bringing it back a little bit. Are you still doing like all the work with CRI and all that, or like what are you up to, now?
CRI left town about 2 weeks ago, like at the end of October they left town. I'm still doing a little bit of volunteer work at the ACBBM Center. This is like in Arden, North Carolina, which is like 10 minutes southwest of Asheville. But they just stopped doing volunteer work as well. We've got three types of sites here. We've got the federal sites, like the FEMA sites. We used to have active duty troops here. I think they're gone now. From what I understand, we had the 101st Airborne, and they were putting in a lot of work in Chimney Rock and Back Cave, which are areas that were completely destroyed. FEMA is still here. FEMA is very rigorous. They're doing a good job. Then we have National Guard sites. National Guard sites are great. They're distributing water and MREs to anyone. It doesn't matter if you have a North Carolina license or not. They'll give you supplies if you need them. Ironically, Logan Paul, for like as a jerk of a guy as he is, donated like 100,000 Prime. And so I've, for the first time in my life, I'm like, I've been drinking.
Hell yeah, man. There you go.
And then you have your like community centers and your volunteer centers. Some are run by churches. Some are just run by leadership centers or just sections of the community. And cool. I would say at this point, those make up a majority of the volunteer centers that are distributing supplies and helping people. And if you're in Asheville or Western North Carolina and you need supplies that aren't simply just water or MREs, you need to go to these community distribution centers. So if you need baby formula or anything, you know, feminine care products, anything specific like that, those are the places to go.
Awesome. That's great.
I'm trying to think of anything, any other questions. Like I'm still
I'm trying to also, I think we covered everything.
Everything from charging. I mean, no electrical, like, was there ever like you driving an inkling of like, all right, this sounds a little off or this isn't as exact as it should be in your truck?
You're asking like issues with it after I picked it up? Good question. It had like a wobble at speed due to the mud that was in the rims, which is, you know, it's like a physical thing. You know, none of I kept getting parking sensor errors because all of those were just covered in mud, like the adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, driver plus, none of that worked. There was no cell phone service, so the hotspot didn't work. I was out of windshield wiper fluid, and so that kept popping up, like refill soon. And I was like, I can't get it anywhere. There's no stores open. But aside from that, I mean, you would have thought like the truck was like, oh yeah, it's just another Tuesday, you know, just another Tuesday where I floated down river.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm almost as amazed as you guys are. I really am baffled that, because I had a Tesla Model 3 beforehand, and I love that thing, a 2022 Tesla Model 3 long range. I drove it from here to Vermont and back. I drove it to Bar Harbor, Maine once. I took it camping. I slept in the back of that thing. I had a bed. I put a lift kit on there, a 2-inch spacer lift kit with rear camber arms, a cross climate 2 tires. It's what drove me to get the Rivian, because I had a pre-order in 2020, and for the, I had the pre-price hike pricing and everything, and then they decided to sunset all of that in September, and so I was looking, I kept a lookout for a good deal, and I got the good lease deal on a 2023 Max Pack. I bought it, boom, good to go. I do not think a Model 3 would have made it through this. I'm just saying.
I was just thinking that.
I'm like, just saying. You, like,
yeah, you would have, that car would have ended up at the bottom of the river for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if Tesla would have reacted the same way that Rivian did, where Rivian absolutely really stepped up and like they took care of me, and you know, I was able to, like, you guys heard that story about that woman I took water to. I don't think I would have been able to get down that road. I definitely would have been able to run a chainsaw off of the Model 3. You know, like there's right, things that this vehicle has allowed me to do that one just would not have. And I did an interview with Business Insider like early October, and I remember I told them pretty much all the things I just told you guys, and I loved the Model 3. I didn't say anything bad about it, but I don't know if you guys read it. They decided
anti-Tesla.
Yeah, they decided to title it like ex-Tesla owner.
Yeah. I saw that. I'll read that.
His experience with the Rivian R1T during Hurricane Helene made him a total convert. And like, am I a convert? Do I love Rivian now? Absolutely. Like, but it's not like I hate the Model 3 now or something. Right.
Yeah.
So, but I just wanted to clear that up for the record, so everybody. You know, I don't hate Tesla. I just, you know, Rivian's not bad either.
Yeah.
They're pretty all right.
I'm glad you got to clear that up. But no, that's how they definitely like to twist it. It's just,
yeah, it's like, that I was like my Rivian. the best example of how the media twists everything can twist everything that people say. Like, that was just, I saw that. I'm like, really? Like, I don't think that this is right.
That's not even what I said, but I think the RoboTaxi event was going on, and so they were trying to, like, they released the article, like, on the same day or something, and
yeah.
I thought that was really cool, by the way. I didn't get to go to that, but I don't know if
it was pretty awesome.
Do you know anybody who got to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually could kind of lead into, like, another story. I'm going to say this to circle back to what we were just talking about. I am now the proud owner of a Starlink Gen 3 standard dish, which is kind of awesome. Thank you to the guys on the Turndown for Watt podcast. After the Arctic Cyber Trek adventure with Bearded Tesla and Teslatino, where they took their cyber trucks up to the northernmost point in North America, powered by Starlink, apparently, because Justin Bearded Tesla would always live. Well, actually, and I forgot the guy's name. Teslatino would also like live stream their drives and had Starlink dishes mounted on their dashboards. Gave away a Starlink dish, and speaking of the RoboTaxi event, they did the contest. Or announced the winner of the contest that night. And just for fun, because I'm a listener of the podcast and I'm really good friends with Chris Bo. He lives up here in the Bay Area. He's part of the Ford F-150 Lightning Owners Club here in the Bay Area. And so I'm like, I'm just going to enter this just to kind of give him more people to, you know, show my support for the podcast, like the whole thing. So Bearded Tesla was live streaming the RoboTaxi event that took place a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago in LA on the Warner Brothers lot, and decided to do the giveaway for the Starlink dish, and totally legitimately my name randomly was chosen to win the dish. So to circle back to what you asked, yes, I knew people that were there.
Nice.
Yeah. So actually, let me not be on camera for a second.
Let's see it.
Yeah. I still have it in the box. Here it is. And then turn down for Watt Podcast. Oh, let me block that because that's got everybody's addresses on it. Hmm. But yeah, it's a Gen 3. It's brand new. Like I'm yelling like I don't have my microphone attached to me. Gen 3, brand new in the box, and I'm gonna on my YouTube channel, my personal one, Wild Wattage, down here somewhere over here. I don't know. I'll do an unboxing and then just try to show off some cool stuff that I'm gonna try to do with it. So there's a whole subreddit for people that hack Starlink dishes, so I might break into that. But yeah,
link in the description. So as well, Michael's all of his information, social media, link in the description. Michael, give us your referral as well. I'll put that in the description. Show that for everyone. Of course, Zach and me, all of our social medias will be down there as well.
Yeah. Hey, Isaiah.
Yeah.
I have a question. I was wondering if I could mention one more thing. But just about like the situation here in Asheville.
Yeah,
go for it.
I wasn't ending. I was just like,
no.
You're talking about the links. I was like, I'll be in the description.
Because I know that there is big stuff going on. VW did all this stuff, and Scout has released vehicles that are like direct competitors / copies of Rivians, and all this stuff's going on that we got to talk about. But I did want to say one other thing. During this disaster, one of the biggest problems, and we're still dealing with it right now, is that everybody lost water initially, and part of the reason is because the main water treatment plants, some of them just got obliterated and were wiped off the map, and other sections were that main water lines, like these huge 36-inch diameter water lines, got destroyed in certain sections. And Asheville has been doing their best to try to get water to people. In certain areas, there were people without water up until the end of October. For an entire month, people were, you know, if you can't flush a toilet for a month, let me tell you, it's not a good scenario. And at the I was lucky enough to have friends who have access to water. Everybody's still under a boil water advisory, and the reason is because right now we are sourcing water from a lake, and so the water turbidity is still very brown. They're improving it. They just brought in this giant curtain to like filter out a lot of the sediment, but it's still, you don't want to drink it, and in some sections it's not just a boil water advisory, they have a do not drink, and so people are still surviving off of bottled water. Earlier in this month, people, because they still didn't have water, and I knew friends who didn't have water, there were people who had giant trucks, semi-trucks, and some of them were associated with FEMA, and some of them were associated with just volunteer groups, and they'd come in with these like 18 shower units, and they would park them at the Sam's Club or the Walmart, and so people were able, if they were able to leave their home, they were able to come and take showers, if you go a week without a shower, man, that's, you know, when you finally get one, that's a huge morale booster. And it came to my mind that there are some people who can't leave their homes either for medical reasons or for other reasons that still didn't have water. And so in the Rivian, in the back of it, I built inside of a toolbox, like one you put in the back of a truck bed, I built a portable shower unit with a 3-stage filter so that you could refill it from the river. And I had been for like the middle of October, I must have given out and delivered like maybe a little over 2 dozen showers, hot showers, wow. two people. Wow. And I plan on this weekend, I'm working on a website, and I plan on trying to develop this product and sell it as an overlanding product that people like Bearded Tesla or others who are going out to the Arctic or doing all this crazy camping might be able to make use of in their Cybertrucks. So
that's amazing.
Put that out there.
That's fantastic. Well, let us know when you get that website up and everything, and we'll blast it out with you as well on all the socials. Like, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Anything we can do, man.
Y'all are the best.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, I can't.
This has just been awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is my home, man. This car, you know.
Literally, people might think you're joking, but like literally, like it's been so hard to coordinate this and like get you like in a place where like we could talk to you for more than 10 minutes first off, and then like it's been a wild ride, man. Like, very small part of your journey. I'm happy and excited to be a little part of it, but like Isaiah said, we're like super amped that you're here, dude. Like, no matter if you're sitting in your truck or wherever. So
I'm honored to be part of Rivian Rundown, and
we're honored to have you. Don't stop. Like, we're inconsequential, man. Like, no.
That's sweet of you guys. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Me too. Like, I was very excited that like everything aligned today, that I was able to get home in time to be able to do this. And I was like, I really don't want to move it again. Like, we got it finally lined up where all three of us can be here. And like, I'm like, let's go, and made it with 3 minutes to spare. It was fantastic. So then I realized that we said 3:30 instead of 3 o'clock my time, and when I got home at 2:57, and I'm just like, oh, and then I'm like, wait. So
hey, we pulled it off.
Side note, behind the scenes, lift the curtain, pay no attention.
Awesome. Okay. I feeling like we're in a transition period.
Here so we what go.
Do I want to do? Do you want to do a full, like, I mean, what is there to really talk about in terms of Rivian news? I mean, we haven't made an episode in, it's like 2 or 3 weeks. So
yeah, and there's been a lot, but then like,
right,
it's been 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just like, do we want to talk about all that stuff? Like, our listeners and viewers, like,
we're gonna get back.
Know,
yeah,
do they not know about this stuff by now? Like. And then you with your live stream thing that you did the other day about the joint venture, and then, yeah.
How about this? We'll go over this pretty quickly, and then I'll, you know, I know we're invading your home right now, Michael. So
you guys are welcome. I've got 4 other seats here. Okay, so you can add another person if you want.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to Michael for joining us. And Michael, do you want to give your social media handle, or, you know, kind of if there's anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
Absolutely. You can follow me on X, Chess for Giants. And I am working on the shower box as we speak. And my website's going to be up this weekend, chessforgiants.com. So if you want to bring the comfort of home out with you into the backwoods and take a nice hot shower, give that a look.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll put the link in the description, because this won't go out till after this weekend. So we'll put all of that in the description below. So be sure to like, follow, and subscribe if you don't already, here on YouTube or your podcast player of choice. Or you can always get all of our links and everything at rivianrundown.com, recently updated, so it's kind of version 2.0. Also on there, if you want to leave a comment or give us a review, please do so. As you know, we are very popular on Apple Podcasts, especially in the Porch community. So be sure to, you know, leave us a review about how we did with our porches and patios. And you can also leave a voicemail on the website as well. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. And again, thanks to Michael for not just being on the show, but for, like I said earlier, everything that you've been doing out there in Asheville. And hope you guys stay safe and are able to get everything cleaned up and as good as new soon.
Thank you for having me, guys. Zach, Isaiah, it was a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks, y'all. And we will catch y'all in the next episode.
Episode 7.
Episode 7, by the way. This was episode 7, so we'll see you in episode 8. Now I'm really going to end it. Bye, y'all.